It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We may be in an age of digital entertainment, but board games still hold a lot of appeal.
The name of the game is Connect Four.
Gotcha! Four cross. One more game.
To play the game, I buy real estate, hotels, fancy cars, even railroads. And I take chances to make it big. You've got to play the game. My Monopoly game.
It's winters by the fire, it's summers by the sea. It's holidays and family. Yeah, it's Scrabble, America's good time game.
Oh, man. The games have come a long way since then. There are still thousands of new board games coming out every year, like Catan, Pandemic, Love Letter. They've been finding plenty of success, even beyond hobbyist board gamers. Role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons have also been growing in popularity. That genre has had its own renaissance in recent years, thanks to podcasts like Critical Role. Gaming conventions for decades have been a way for enthusiasts of these games to get together, celebrate the games they love, and maybe even try out some new ones. And one of those conventions is happening this weekend in Bloomington Normal. It's actually already happening as we go to air on Friday. It's called FlatCon, and here to talk about the growth of these games is Brad Price. He's the president of the group behind the convention, Tabletop Gamers for Good. Brad, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian.
As you hear this, Brad is going to be busy keeping the convention running smoothly, making sure nobody flips any tables, the usual, given that we tape this conversation on Wednesday afternoon. All right, Brad, we're going to get to the convention in a minute, but I just want to start with some bigger picture perspective. The sort of games we're talking about here are nothing new. Dungeons & Dragons has been around since 1974. Catan dates back to 1995. It used to be Settlers of Catan. What has been bringing the growth that these fields have seen in the past few years?
I think a lot of it is getting back to the social gaming. People like to sit around and play games with their friends because you can sit and socialize, have some fun, get as strategic as you want, or be as silly as you want, depending upon what game types you like.
Strategic. And they're not all necessarily competitive against each other either, right? Pandemic's a great example of one that's cooperative gaming is this thing that maybe would be unfamiliar to people who are more familiar with Scrabble and Trivial Pursuit and that sort of thing.
Exactly. And those have grown in popularity like crazy. There are a lot of people that like to work with their friends on trying to figure out a puzzle. And there's some easy ones to get into. Charterstone is an easy one from Stonemaier Games to get into. People don't have to have a good background on playing games to figure that one out because the rules build as you go along with it. And then there are others like you mentioned Pandemic, Ticket to Ride Legacy. So there are several out there that you can sit down and play with your friends. They can be cooperative or a little bit competitive with a little bit of a cooperative taste to it.
For some reason, I've had a hard time getting people to want to play Pandemic with me since 2020. So you heard that commercial we played at the start of our conversation, those classic board games. What else sets this newer breed of games apart from those traditional ones?
You don't see a whole lot of roll and move anymore. So there are a lot of different mechanics that have come out in games. The German games that kind of pushed all of this, they call them Euro games at this point. They have a lot of different mechanics to it that new board gamers, when they first come into it, are a little overwhelmed from time to time because there's so many things that they're not used to. Worker placement, where you take your worker, you put it onto a spot, and you get to perform an action or get a resource based upon that location. And then nobody can use that spot until you move yours off of there. So it becomes kind of a contentious little game. And then there's deck building, where you're building up a deck of cards. The more cards you gather, the more you're able to do with the deck that you've got. So your hand becomes a little more valuable as your game goes on. So there's a lot of things that have made games more accessible and more fun instead of just rolling a dice and moving a pawn.
Yeah, and more complicated in some ways, too, and committed, right? I can't bring myself to play that version of Pandemic where you actually have to, like, tear the pages. It's really a one-time thing, right?
It is. But you play through the 15 rounds of that game, and once you're done, you have your own copy of that game that is like nobody else's.
So what got you into this hobby in the first place?
Well, I'm an old-time gamer. I've been playing games for a long time. My dad taught me chess when I was young, and my grandmother and my aunt used to play games like Trouble and Sorry. They played a lot of Rummy. So I jumped into those games and played quite a few of those. I discovered a complex game early on, which was Starfleet Battles, because I was a Star Trek fan. Still, I'm a Star Trek fan. And Starfleet Battles just blew my mind with what you could do with a game. And those old Avalon Hill games were some of the first ones that you saw that had a lot of complex game mechanics in them. And then once 3M and Avalon Hill kind of faded out, I kind of lost interest because most of the games out there were the Hasbro, like I said, the roll and move games. But then as things like Catan, whichever pronunciation you want to have of that, they started hitting, and I became really enthralled with these new games.
So that's how the games have evolved. What about the community? How have you seen the tabletop gaming community evolve over that same time period?
So it's interesting because if you take a look at the European and Canadian environments where gaming is concerned, there's a lot of families and a lot of friends that play games, and it's been that way for a long time. Here in the U.S., you had your game aficionados, but you didn't really see a lot of gaming, at least I didn't, as far as families were concerned, after they got out of Uno, Skip Bo, Monopoly, that kind of thing. It just kind of became more about other things like sports and video games and doing things other than playing board games. So board games seemed like, well, they're kids' things, kind of like comic books. They're for kids. But now it's kind of changed where people realize that, hey, you can sit down at a table and play and socialize with your friends, and it's a lot of fun. So now you see a lot of families. So FlatCon's a good example. So we had a lot of gamers that would come in, and every year we'd see the same gamers. We'd see a few new ones coming in, but it was the hardcore gamers. Over the past probably 8 to 10 years, it's morphed to become more friends that are coming in that aren't the hardcore gamers, but they want to experience some new games. They don't want to buy them. They go to their game stores, but then they see the convention atmosphere with the vendors and the food trucks and all that, and it entices them. And then we're starting to see a lot of families come in also. So now we've got a good array of families that show up at the convention, play games all weekend, and we'll get into it later, but we've got some offerings that are starting to become more eponymous with the game conventions that people really like.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the modern boom in tabletop gaming, board games, role-playing games. There's a convention this weekend, as we've been hearing, in Bloomington Normal. It's called FlatCon. We're talking about it with Brad Price, the president of the group behind the convention, Tabletop Gamers for Good. So, Brad, let's talk about FlatCon. You mentioned a little bit of what people can expect there. For somebody who's never been to one of these, what does it look like? What would you see?
So when you first walk in, you see a sea of tables and people sitting around playing games. So we're over at the Interstate Center in Bloomington Normal. We take over the large hall there. So it's where McLean County Fair runs. So if you're familiar with that, should be easy enough to find. Once you get in there and get past registration, we have a board game library that's about 700 games, and you can pick one out, check it out, just like you do at a library, sit down, learn it, or have somebody teach you the game. We'll have little standees with a flag that says teacher wanted. And if somebody knows how to play the game, you usually have them come over and give you a little rundown on how the game plays. Then we also have the miniatures games. So they're just past the board game area. The miniatures games are Warhammer, Aerodrome, Marvel Crisis Protocol, and there's several others. So those, you sit down and you're going to be moving the miniatures around depending upon, if it's Aerodrome 1.0, it's World War I airplanes that you're doing dogfights with. If it's the space one, it's like Star Wars battles. Warhammer, you've got a bunch of miniatures that you're battling it out in a future scenario. And Marvel Crisis Protocol is just that, Marvel characters going up against each other. Beyond that, we've got our role-playing area. So you'll have a lot of people playing Pathfinder, Dungeons and Dragons, some not as well-known RPGs that show up at the convention, and you'll sit down and become a character in this world that you're a game master is going to teach you or take you through an event. So you'll get to make decisions. And with that, sometimes the luck of the dice helps you, sometimes it doesn't. But most of your decisions are based upon what the scenario needs.
So we've just got a few minutes left in our time together. So we're talking about FlatCon and Bloomington Normal. Champaign-Urbana has Tabletop Central. That was last month. Rockford has RockCon next month. The list goes on. There's a big convention, Gen Con, in Indiana every year. It can sound a little intimidating, I think, right? And as with a lot of geeky subcultures, tabletop gaming has had to contend with this image of being a field dominated by white men, right? The comic book guy from The Simpsons. People like that. How do you reckon with that image and what the reality is like and what you're trying to build, the community you're trying to build?
Yeah, so the community has changed. Last year, I ran the numbers and we were 35% female and 65% male. So it has changed a lot from being the 90% male dominated, like you said. We also push family entertainment a lot. So we want people to know that, we're there to help families out, have some fun, something to do over the weekend. We have this year, we'll have 23 vendors that sell everything from t-shirts to gaming tchotchkes to the games, dice, role-playing accessories. It's a very low-key environment. So you don't have to worry about coming in and everybody's super competitive and yelling, like you said, flipping the table. You don't see that there. What you do see are a lot of people having a good time conversing with one another and typically making friends while you're there. Because if you come as a couple or a small family, you'll find people that are teaching you games or you'll jump into games with other people. We usually have a ton of people that are ready to meet others and expand their gaming environment. Now, you can come and just check out games. We do have couples that come in and all they want to do is check out games and play some games on their own. And then we have others that want to experience the whole thing and meet new people. So, however you want to experience it is how you can experience it.
Again, the name of the convention is FlatCon in Bloomington Normal this weekend. We'll have more information about it on our website, 21stshow.org. The organizer is Brad Price. I usually say thanks for making the time, but today I think I'll leave you with live long and prosper.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for this week. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We leave you with a board game wrap. We'll talk again on Monday.
Put down your controller. Forget the clock, the tabletop is what the cause of. So grab some paper and start taking down the scores. But don't forget you're up against the chairman of the board.
Right then. Games night, everyone. What's up first? I know what my money's on. If you're into causing a family schism, consider some tabletop capitalism. A battle of balances, man and so talented, mobbing a prophet with Randy and callousness. Isn't much use for financial analysis, banks are all frozen with throes of paralysis. Golly, it's very nice, crushing the parasites, man, I'm in paradise, give me a paradise. Hold him, I blow him, I roll him, I'm strolling my token right over the go, and I'm folding the dough, and I'm throwing it at home to my portfolio. My monopoly grows, you won't topple me, no. I'm a polished demolisher, dropping hotels right on top of my foes. If you stop on your boat and my property, know that it's probably, honestly, gonna be more than the cost of the whole of the global economy, so you should just up and offer me all of your keys and your dog. Well, you could call it a robbery, you can't afford an apology. All your accountants would flounder and wobble, the top of my profits would boggle, the monarchy stopping me.